Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in various areas around town for coffee, tea, and conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, it's so nice having you join us as we gather in various places around town. You can hear some noise in the background, and you can tell we're not in the studio because we're out in the world, but not of the world. And so it's nice to have you joining us as we have conversation around God's Word with our Bible Talk. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin, and we want to welcome you to the table with us. We're talking with Pastor Joe and getting into the Bible.
That's right. And it's so nice to be able to meander, to search the scriptures as we become Bereans around this table to see if these things are not so. So, Pastor Joe, let's get into it as we delve into the Bible, into the scriptures. You know, Isaiah 55 verses 6 and 7 is a marvelous treasure that we've been going through. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Let's get into a little bit, because it seems like this is so important. So let's just talk a little bit about how. Okay, say, I'm ready to seek him. I want to know. So what should a non-believer do if they're at that point? They're being called, they want to respond. Now what?
In being saved, there are two elements of the gospel message we must believe and understand and respond to. The first is repent, and the second is believe. Matthew 4:17, Jesus saying himself, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It means that is repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, where we get the English word metamorphosis from. A metamorphosis is a complete change. And so when God commands sinners to repent, he's saying, look, change your mind, change your heart about your lifestyle, about your priorities, about the way you're living, the way you're speaking, the way you're thinking. You must experience a wholesale change spiritually and morally from the inside out. It begins with sorrow and remorse for sins and your lifestyle and your way of life. That sorrow begins by an awakening that your life of rebellion against God is an unhappy one. You're not pleased with it. It's not helping you. It's doing nothing but causing problems, very terrible consequences, and very bad feelings of regret in your heart, of guilt in your heart. And so repentance means that you come to a place where now you're totally changed in your thinking about your lifestyle. You no longer want to walk down that road of selfishness, lust, and living for self and sin. You have a changed mind completely. You reverse your attitude and your mindset and your priorities, and you begin to call upon God for forgiveness of your sin. You put your trust in Jesus. You ask Jesus to save you and to change you from the inside out and give you a new spirit, a new heart, so that you have the ability and the power to actually control yourself from being a slave of sin. And all those who put their trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will be given what the Bible teaches, the Holy Spirit. We will be given the Holy Spirit who comes to live inside of us, who galvanizes and fortifies our heart from falling back into a lifestyle of slavery to sin. He changes us. The Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, or if he or she is a Christian, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so when you trust in Jesus to save you from sin and hell, he's giving you repentance for your sin, a totally changed mind, and he pours out the Holy Spirit upon you after exercising faith in Christ. and he gives you a new mind, a new attitude, a new life, a new perspective about God. You now want to serve him, obey him, and do his perfect will.
You know, sometimes people understand, if God is giving them this understanding, that they are sinners and that they need to change before they would be pleasing to God. But they think, I can't do it. Now, what you're saying is that God will do it. God changes us. He transforms us. Because I think that's like a misconception, that people think they already have to be perfect. They have to make all the changes before they seek God and come to him.
Well, that's true. There are a lot of people who think like that, that they have to change their ways first, or they have to live a lifestyle pleasing to God based on their own strength or works before God will accept them. The Bible teaches clearly that such an approach to God, to change their ways first by their own strength or by their own flesh or by their own power, is completely wrong or unscriptural. The Bible says, for we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are not saved by our works or by pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps or trying to do the best we can or trying to keep the commandments, because such an approach to God in our own strength sets us up for failure, because a person's strength will eventually run out and they will find themselves going backwards again and becoming a slave of sin, and they will find themselves committing sin again, not having the innate power to change on their own. The Bible teaches that only God himself can give us the ability to change our habits. And he does that by giving us the Holy Spirit. We approach God purely by faith in the finished, accomplished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, believing that only what he did in our place by paying our sin debt, by securing the grace and strength we need to live for Christ, that he will give us, will enable us to live the Christian life. Anyone that approaches God on the basis or grounds of anything that they do or anything that they are in themselves, or with reliance upon their religious resume or credentials, or bring anything to God of their own life or selves, saying, God, I'm worthy for salvation because of this, that, and the other thing that relates to me, is immediately rejected. The Bible teaches that we come to God through Jesus Christ alone. The only works and only righteousness that God accepts is Christ's righteousness, his meritorious death on the cross in the sinner's place. If we come to God through Jesus Christ, God will hear our prayer and save us from our sin, based on the belief that it is only what Jesus did on the cross, his atoning death in our place, on our behalf, will be accepted by God.
Then verse 7 continues by saying, return to the Lord. Does this mean that through sin we're separated from God and we need to return to him? Because what you were talking about, sometimes guilt can be quite a barrier from returning to God.
Well, let me talk a little bit more about repentance and explaining the answer to that question. When God says repent, he's basically saying, look to Christ and return to God as the source of your salvation and your strength. Come back to the place of looking to Christ and relying upon Christ and not yourself and your works as the grounds of your acceptance with God. For one thing, it means admitting that you're a sinner. When you return to God, it doesn't mean you were with God to begin with. It means that at one time you thought about him, maybe you prayed, you were seeking him, and you fell away and you went backwards, not forward. But if you're sincere in finding salvation, you need to come back to that place where you're seeking God again. And it means repenting. It means changing your mind about sin and turning away from sin and to the Lord. Repentance, like I said, is a changed mind and a changed heart about your sin. But a repenting sinner must turn to Jesus Christ in faith. It's more than just confessing your sin and hating your sin and abhorring your sin and condemning your sin. It also means you have to turn to Christ and trust in Christ to save you. The Bible says that he that has the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's in 1 John. But in the book of Acts, if I can get there, we read in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. We also read in Acts 3 and verse 19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before. And so repentance is absolutely necessary, and faith is necessary. And if you will repent of your sin and put your trust in Christ, you will be saved. For with the mouth one confesses unto salvation, and with the heart man believes unto salvation. So to repent is a profound change of mind about my sin. It is willing and eager to give it up. It is to agree with God in his case against me. It is to plead guilty without making excuses or being defensive. To believe on Christ is to depend fully and only upon Jesus Christ for all I need to become right with God. It's to repudiate my own merits, which are really demerits in God's sight, and claim Christ's merits alone as the only ground of acceptance with God. Repentance is to surrender to his authority and lordship in all my life. And so in this conversion, which I have described, I come to hate what I used to love and to love what I used to hate. Such a radical revolution and transformation occurs by the inward work of the Holy Spirit, which God does in us. And this is what it means to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. Becoming a Christian is not a work that I achieve. It's not a self-help program, nor is it a joint effort by Christ and me. It is all his work for me and in me by his grace.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568, or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Sometimes people just give lip service, where in 1 John 1, we're told that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so some people might take that as a license to just, okay, I confess my sins, I'm okay, and then go on with their life.
Well, that's called vain presumption. And it's called turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. The Apostle Paul touches upon that issue in Romans, where he says, shall I sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or how shall we who died to sin make excuses for it? How shall we devise this plan presumptuously that we're going to confess our sin and then go ahead and sin again, thinking that if I just confess it through this formula, God will forgive me? That's presuming upon his grace, and that's being very presumptuous and very disrespectful. It's an abomination to devise a plan to sin based on a merciful, compassionate promise God gives of forgiveness. That's using God's promises, and that's abusing God's mercy and compassion in the worst sort of way. And it will cause the greatest judgment and chastisement of God to come down upon a person, whether he's saved or not. And God will not hear that person's prayer. We read in Psalm 66 and verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And that includes devising these plans of trying to live like the devil on the earth and then have forgiveness too, or die and go to heaven too. You can't have it both ways. A true mark of a believer is that they love holiness and hate sin or iniquity. We read in Hebrews, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." We can't have it both ways, to have sin and have God too, especially if we try to use God and his promises and his doctrines as a means of doing both things or having it both ways. That's a great abomination.
Right. And yet, to be very clear, you're saying that you can't just confess and then run out and do it again. But on the other hand, not to mistake that confession is an important part of repentance, correct? That prayer and confession is very important as we seek God and seek a new way of life.
Yes, confession is part of repentance. The truly burdened, penitent heart is going to instinctively, naturally begin to confess it to God, whether it be verbally or in his or her heart. Confession is the natural outflow of a heart that's filled with grief and sorrow for one's sins. So in repenting, you ask the question, what does it mean in verse 7 of Isaiah 55 to return to the Lord? To return to the Lord means to come back to a place of seeking God and trusting in him for salvation, or for the believer, if he or she has backslidden, to return to a place of fellowship. We read in Jeremiah 24:5, "Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." And so a true seeker may seek and knock and ask for salvation and then leave off because of discouragement, but then pick up where they left off. And if that person will continue to seek the Lord and trust in Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, God will eventually return with an answer and save their soul. The same is true with a Christian who has fallen away from intimate fellowship and communion with Christ. The Bible says in Malachi 3:7, "Return to me and I will return to you." God there is speaking to the Jewish people, his professing people. And in the New Testament, there is his church, his professing people. And if a true believer falls away or backslides, God promises, "If you return to me, I will return to you." We also have a wonderful promise in Hosea chapter 14, one of my favorite in all the Bible, to believers. He says in Hosea 14:1, "O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in you the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon." And so this is a language and this is a promise, a beautiful overture on God's part of promised fruitfulness once again if the believer will return to the Lord. God even tells them what to say. He says, "Take with you words. Say to me, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously." This is how strongly God wants his people to come back to him and return to him, to a place that they have forsaken, where they can restore communion with God. He even encourages us, tells them what to say, and he promises that if they will trust in God alone and not trust in devices and not rely upon former grace, past victories, but trust in the Lord. He says he will heal their backsliding and love them freely like he did in the past. His love will not stop. And Romans 8 promises that. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
So beautiful.
Yes. Then along with that, in verse 7, it ends by saying, and talking about God's marvelous grace and forgiveness, for he will abundantly pardon. Could you talk about our Lord as a forgiving God?
Oh, he is indeed a forgiving God. Nobody forgives like God. It's unconditional forgiveness. It's forgiveness that we read in Scripture is irreversible. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God tells us to come to him through Jesus Christ. We can come boldly. We can come authoritatively based on his promise to find that grace and that mercy, that forgiveness in our time of need. In James 4, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. That's repentance. He describes repentance. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. There's the promise of forgiveness, cleansing, and restoration. So great blessings accrue to those who obey God's gospel summons to repent and believe. We are forgiven of all of our sins. And that's what verse 7 teaches in Isaiah 55. Forgiveness means that we're justified in the sight of God. We're declared righteous and just in his eyes. We have his righteousness credited and applied to his account. We have peace with God. We become adopted children of God into his family. We're given new life with new desires and delights. The reigning power of sin becomes broken, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and comfort us in all of our earthly afflictions and trials. And we enjoy communion with the living God who created us, communion and fellowship with him in prayer and in his word. And we find so satisfying a purpose for living now, to love God supremely, to love our neighbor as ourselves. God gives us the ability to fulfill the greatest commandments in the Bible. We have church fellowship. We find friendship with other believers. We find opportunities to serve. And so God promises us that he is working all things together for our good. Even bad things turn out for his glory and for our good. Isn't that wonderful? We look forward then to being with him forever in heaven. The rejection by this world of us because of our identification with Christ is far offset by our spiritual privileges in Christ, our spiritual inheritance that is laid up for us in heavenly places, and that we enjoy here and hereafter in eternal fellowship with Christ. How good is the good news? Oh, it's good. And so, my friend, do you believe in the gospel? You who are listening, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and Redeemer? And if you are a Christian and you are saved, but you're wrestling hard with sin, you're stumbling over iniquity, do you remember the promises of Christ? If you return to me, I will return to you. He promises to restore you. He tells the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews who are struggling in the first century, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He not only starts our faith, but he will finish it. He will complete it. Return to Christ. You can't go backwards. You won't find any help from the world. And there's nowhere else you can go. For Jesus alone has the words of eternal life.
Wow. So beautiful.
Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God. Well, Joe, everything that you've talked about comes straight from the Bible, doesn't it? It's from God's word that he's given to us as a guideline for how to bring us back to him. And how glorious is that, that we have it? We're so lucky in this country to have access to it. If someone did want to seek God and as you've said, something key is to go to the Holy Scriptures because God talks to us there. Where might he start in looking? Like where would be a good place for someone who's seeking the Lord to start reading, to find out who Jesus is and what he's done for us and what he wants us to do?
Well, I would suggest they begin with the Gospel of John. The theme of the Gospel of John is the deity of Christ. In other words, that Jesus is God. And as God, he gives seekers, true searchers of salvation, hundreds of promises in the Gospel of John. For example, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And here's this religious, unsaved, unconverted man named Nicodemus in chapter 3 who comes to Jesus and says, basically, "How can I be saved?" And Jesus says to religious people who do not yet have peace with God to put their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Whether you're religious or not, if you are without Christ and without hope in this world, John chapter 3, John chapter 10, where it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd, he will shepherd you into the kingdom of God. He will pour out his Spirit upon you. He will give you a new heart, a new mind. He will grant you the repentance that you do not have, the repentance you are seeking, and he will grant you the faith to put your trust in him. Ask him for these things because he cannot lie. He will keep his promise. Keep praying, keep believing, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking, and you will find him.
You know, Isaiah 55 verses 6 and 7 is a marvelous treasure that we've been going through. So just wonderful, wonderful treasures from God's word. So thank you so much, Pastor Joe, for just helping us dig deep in God's word to just be able to see these riches of his salvation message to us, that as we seek him, he will be found.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. 94568 is the zip code. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. And please remember that First Love Radio is supported solely by God's faithfulness as he inclines the hearts of friends like you to offer your support. If you would like to send us a financial gift, we'd be ever so grateful. Please make your check out to First Love Radio and mail it to First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California, 94568. Or simply donate on our website, firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back at the same time tomorrow and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.